this is Jerry Pippin. On today's program, we're going to challenge your belief system. Our guests are Duncan O'Finnigan and Dave Corso. Duncan is rumored to be a super soldier. Some call the program the ultimate warrior. Dave Corso was placed in the middle of Southeast Asia in the 60s. He was fighting as a member of the Black Ops troops, troops that did not exist, but they were highly skilled warriors indeed. But what happened to him in the jungles in that battle with the Khmer Rouge? Duncan was there. He was a child with strange mental power. He was one of perhaps a dozen that Corso saw. You will hear the story. It will be mind-boggling. It is something right out of Hollywood. Only this is real life. Stay tuned as we discuss the case of Duncan O'Finnigan, a bionic man, or more like an Incredible Hulk, a tale of superhuman soldiers. The Ultimate Warrior program unfolds. Did it exist? We wonder if it existed. So we contacted the former head of a government clandestine operation who was in charge of medical services. And this unnamed but real doctor of medicine and research, even to this day, still has ties to secret government operations. Does he know about a program like this? The super soldier? The ultimate warrior? Listen and decide for yourself.
I was the chief medical officer. I'm still a consultant to them for the Undersecretary of Operations Research for the Army. Mm-hmm. I have had contracts for many years with the Soldier as a System program at Natick Laboratories. I mean, I know everything in the Army about trying to improve performance, and I have never, ever, 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 ever been briefed on nor seen any technology that even all relates to what he described in that interview. And all I can say, my reason number one, Jerry, is I think I've had pretty good access, and I've never seen or heard of anything. But there's a second reason. There's a guy I know who's written three books on the advanced soldier of the system for the 21st and 22nd century on biotechnology, and he also, and he's a special forces full-bird colonel, and he's got a PhD, and he's written several books on special forces training programs, and he's very much into mental training, mental preparedness, new research. You can take a pill to keep a person awake if they've got to keep awake for a couple of days. And he also says to me, I've never run into anything like what that guy says.
Let's get right to the story. Let's talk to the principals involved, and we'll find out more about this tale of mystery and intrigue. Our guest on the phone, actually Dave Corso, is on a cell phone somewhere in Nevada, about 60 miles west of Las Vegas. And Duncan O'Finnigan, he doesn't want us to know where he is, so we'll honor that. Welcome to the show, both of you. And now, I guess we need to start out talking about the Ultimate Warrior program. I mean, I guess that's what you'd call it, right?
Yeah, some people, the most practical term is the Ultimate Warrior. It's been called the Super Soldier, the Ultimate Black Ops, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't matter what it comes down to, it's someone who is trained to literally follow every order.
I got some emails here. By the way, Dave, Corso is an unusual name. You know Colonel Corso? The late, great Colonel Corso, or his son?
No, he is a distant cousin.
Okay.
Because there's only about 6,000 families in the world with the name Corso. Now, strangely enough, people think it's Sicilian, but it's not. It's Spanish.
Oh, really?
In the late 1400s, early 1500s, there were several families with the name Corso. Wait a minute. Come on, Hook. In.
Who are you talking to, a dog?
My wolf.
Oh, okay.
My little 8-month-old, 80-pound wolf.
Okay. And that's
he's my housemate.
Yeah. Roberta Scott, one of our producers, when she was a girl, had a pet wolf for a while, and they finally made her give it up. You're not going to give this wolf up, are you?
For my dead body.
Okay.
I raise wolves. You can ask them whether my wolves are dangerous or not.
They're so dangerous, they will lick you to death.
I have 11 canines. And they all play together.
So the wolves and the dogs?
Yeah. That's from a 10-pound Yorkie to a 150-pound wolf.
Well, you're a man after my own heart. I'm a pet lover, and I have a schnauzer, but he's not too tough.
Well, raising a wolf is unlike raising any other canine in the world. I'm still learning.
And how did you get started? You found a baby wolf sometime or something and needed to take care of it, or... You decided you'd raise wolves, or what?
I've had wolves or half-breeds before, but when I moved up here, I've made some marvelous friends, and I have friends who raise wolves. They have two breeding pairs, and they gave me my choice of a litter. They have two litters. They gave my choice of a male and female from either litter. And I said, well, I'll take this one and that one. What I didn't know is their wolves sell, they're expensive. But because wolves train entirely different, I mean, it's been a learning experience for me. And I looked at him one day and I said, I wish you could speak English because I can't speak wolf. And he looked at me like, you're so dumb, you're a human.
They are intelligent animals. I got some questions here for both of you. This one is sent in from a fellow who says he's an anonymous coward. That's his handle. He says, you see the opening screen, the scene of the video pictures, and they're talking about you, Duncan, the one where he's in Nam. He looks to be about 14 years old. He has guts, I'll say that. Duncan, and Dave, you're pretty sure Duncan was about 12 to 14, somewhere along in there? First time you saw him?
Yeah.
And how old was it a year later, 2 years later when you had this accident they rescued you? Whether they shot you down or it was a crash or whatever?
I'm going to assume about a year later.
And then you guys, the redhead and you and Dave, your paths crossed later.
Correct.
Everything happens for a reason. There is no such thing as serendipity, chance, luck, fate, whatever. Everything in this world happens for a reason.
And we were all three actually looking for the people that we had known in the past, in the project, and we just grabbed hold of each other again.
Where did this happen? In California or someplace?
In Nevada.
In Nevada. This is where you actually met. Okay.
In a casino, no less.
Another one of these people on the forum wanted to know about remote viewing and telekinesis and all of that. What can you say about this? I know, Duncan, in your interview with Carrie, you said you weren't very good at remote viewing. Maybe you were being modest.
No, I'm not being modest at all. I'm being truthful. I can do it. I don't consider myself to be that good at it.
Dave, you ever tried remote viewing?
Nah, I never had an interest.
Me neither.
I mean, that's the people that want to do that kind of thing. Me, I'm happy taking care of my wolves and building computers.
Mm-hmm. Well, so anyway, Duncan, did you develop psychic powers thanks to these chips, or
no?
Is that just control your strength?
The project I was in was called Beam Project K, Talent, which was a sub-project of MKUltra. Project Talent was just that. They were looking for kids with PSI abilities, PSI talent, hence the name, you know, Project Talent. That was also why they were looking for specific bloodlines of Native American bloodline and the Celtic bloodline, because they're more susceptible to psi abilities. They have more instances of psi abilities.
You know, the reason I'm asking you this is I'm going back to this Cambodian story because the mental powers of 12, 14 kids, whatever there were, in a ring, and a big flashlight, and am I misquoting you, Dave? Did you say thousands were dead?
Yes.
How do you know it was thousands?
Well, look, we got, when we walked through the battlefield before we got, the choppers picked us up, there had to be thousands.
And no one bothered you from that incident on?
When they're dead, they can't bother you.
Yeah, so there was no one alive.
No, and, you know, it's interesting that Dunk mentioned the Celtic section of it. Well, I'm not purebred Sicilian. I'm also half Scotch-Irish.
Okay. So but you have no Native American with you, right? I mean, in your heritage? Now, Duncan does.
Duncan does, but I was adopted into the Apache tribe.
When you were young?
No, when I was an adult.
Okay.
And when I asked the grandfather, who was about 6,000 years old, because he was the one who got to give me my Native American name, which is Ravenhawk. We come out, I said, Grandfather, may I ask a question? He said, yes, my son. I said, you've given me a name. I said, the raven and the hawk have been significant icons to me throughout my life. How did you get the name? He said, look. And up above in the sky, there was a raven and a hawk flying almost in formation. I said, have you ever seen that before? And he said, well, I saw it in 1941. I said, when? He said, January 9th, because I put it in my log, so to speak. I said, what time was that? He said, 2:45 p.m. I said, that's 5:45 p.m. That's the exact time I was born in Pennsylvania. He said, we've been waiting for you all these years.
Now, you mentioned grandfather, and I've had other people on who have been contacted by ancient Indian tribes from other times. Is grandfather a time traveler?
That I don't know. And I know that he had to be at least 100 years old. He was more spry than I am now at 65. A lot more spry.
We have another email here. They want to know about psychic spying and remote viewing in the U.S. military. Just let me ask the question they're asking, and they want to know, do you keep these abilities or do you have to practice? In other words, do they go away if you don't use them?
They will go away, no, but they will weaken. It's like anything else. The more you practice, the better you get at it. You know, it's like if you want to run, if you're a runner, in order to run 10 miles, you have to start slow and build up to it and then keep pushing.
You know,
once you stop running, then you lose the benefits of running. So, you know, it's something you have to keep practicing.
So in other words, Dave, if you and Duncan and this redhead got in a circle now, you probably couldn't muster up the energy to do someone damage, or do you think you could?
I have no idea, because that wasn't my specialty.
Yeah. What was your specialty?
Putting pieces together to make a picture out of a puzzle.
So you mean sort of intelligence, that he'd tell you different things and you'd try to put it together in a logical manner?
Put it together where it made sense and we could do something with it.
Uh-huh. And Duncan, do you have a specialty?
I would say on the physical side, I was able to do things that no one else could do. And most of that was because in the alternate personality, there is absolutely no fear. And the pain tolerance is off the scale.
Someone else in an email brought up the fact that advanced Zen monks of China have the ability to put their hands through solid glass and retrieve an object from the inside of it, like a jar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys do, either one of you do something like that?
I never have, no. Not that I'm aware of or aware of that I remember.
So, a lot of this is, it gets the imagination running when you start talking about things. And I imagine both of you, since you've been friends for a long time now, right? Both of you, you probably, in these missing places of things you don't remember, you mentioned the redheaded woman, remember things you guys didn't. Your imagination must really run wild, and that's probably not always good.
Actually, for me, it doesn't.
How do you control that? You just don't focus on it, I guess.
No, I mean, it's always there. Duncan and I have a mental link. Whenever he's sick or ill, I can tell. And it works the same way between Shauna and me.
Now, she's the redhead.
Yeah.
Duncan, did Dave marry Shauna?
Nah. I've been married 7 times. I don't want to try that again. See, what's interesting is I have this thing called post-traumatic stress disorder. And I have it really bad. And what's interesting about all of my animals is there's always one or more in the house with me. And whenever at night, and I have horrible nightmares at night, and they will wake me up and let me know something's going on. I mean, if you've ever had a wet wolfie kiss,
you have what, night free where you freeze in the bed and kind of yell out and...
Apparently I don't make any noise.
Oh, really? But your animals catch on.
My animals, because I have destroyed my bed covers. I woke up one morning, 3 animals were laying on the floor. I looked and there was no bed covers or pillows. I looked at them and I said, I guess I had a good night. And the 3 of them looked at me as if to say, God, is he dumb.
Duncan, you have nightmares?
All the time.
Do you make noise? People,
I talk in my sleep, I scream and yell in my sleep, I've choked out several pillows, punched out a few headboards.
So you do a lot of things in your sleep, and some of it's pretty violent. You're not the kind of, person that, probably sleeps alone. I mean, otherwise it might be dangerous.
I sleep on the floor a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you have night fears, night sweats, or is it just any time you're alone?
It used to be so bad. I could be working at my desk, and if I heard a pop, I would fly underneath the desk. You know, things like that. It's gotten some better over the past few years. Once Dave and Sean and I hooked back up, the 3 of us kind of feed off each other and help heal each other.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like group therapy, I guess. But it's gotten better since then.
What about these implants you have? Dave, you don't have any implants, do you?
No.
Okay. What do you think of Duncan's implants?
They're very real.
I do. Do you think it gives you superhuman strength? I mean, it's not like a bionic man. It's more like the Incredible Hulk, only you don't grow.
That's true.
Actually,
or do you grow?
my shirts will get tight.
Oh, really?
I'll pump. It's called a pump.
Have you ever seen Duncan when he's pumped?
Yes.
Tell me what that looks like.
It's freaking scary.
I mean, is he? Is it a quiet force, or is it something that just may go off?
Put it this way. I'm glad he and I know each other, because I've seen him go into, for lack of a better statement, it looked like he was somebody else.
You mean his expressions change?
Expression changes.
His look?
His physical appearance changes. And I mean,
by that, what do you? I mean, he doesn't grow a beard or anything.
No.
But I mean, in other words, he's a pretty good looking guy. I've seen pictures of him. So
he ain't bad for a guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll leave it at that. It's okay. but what I'm saying is, does he get uglier or what? How does he change?
He just has a very deadly, menacing appearance and aura.
So he's Duncan, evidently, when you're in this state, you're much like the guys I described earlier. They could kill you, just look at you.
And I can't answer these questions.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason I'm asking Dave. You don't remember any of it, huh?
No, I don't.
When you come out of that state, are you pretty fatigued?
Yes, very much so.
Uh-huh.
I have to eat very quick.
Wow, we're talking to a real-life Incredible Hulk and also a real-life Black Ops operative. Duncan and Dave will be back in a moment. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. I want to take a moment to talk to you about astrology. We all enjoy reading astrology in the newspaper, love, life in general. But I want to talk to you about C.C. Stevens. She's in Arizona, and she is really a top-notch astrologer. And she does something a little different, and I think you should know about it. She offers to her customers the Book of You for only $35. Literally, this is a book about you. I don't really have time in a radio commercial to go into all of the details of why you should consider ordering the Book of You. So I urge you to click on this banner that's on this page with the show and check it out. And you can order it for $35. Check, credit card, whatever. This is a great gift idea, too, so order now.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
In many ways, Duncan O'Finian is described as the $6 million man. The government did spend a lot of money on him. He has computer chips in his body. And as you just heard before the break, he has a feature in which he gets superhuman strength. He almost turns into an Incredible Hulk-type person. We just heard the $6 million man TV show opening. Duncan, I understand you have a movie in the works. Dave, are you involved in that project?
Can I answer that one, Pop?
Yeah.
I told the people that were involved with in the movie that unless Corso is involved, there'll be no movie.
Well, sounds like you got a good agent there, Dave.
We need to come out here and visit so you can see some gorgeous wolves that'll love you to death.
Well, we'll come out there. We can get Duncan to come out there, too. We'll just do a program there sometime.
Okay. Then you can meet Buddy in spirit and Duke and the Duchess of Runt and Buddy.
Well, it sounds like fun. A couple of people have tried to get me to stage some sort of, I call it Worldwide Wrestling Federation demonstration with Duncan and his superhuman strength, but... He's a black belt already, so I don't know if that'll prove anything. What do you guys think?
Oh, I've heard that. That's been thrown up in my face before. Get in a ring with somebody, do this and that. Guys, I spent my time
yeah.
in the ring.
Well, I don't want to get in there. If it's okay, I'll pass. I'll just do the play-by-play. Hey, Hey, I've enjoyed both of the conversation. I don't guess enjoyed is really the right word. It's been an eye-opening thing and lots of questions we need to follow up. Anything you want to say, Dave, before we leave? And Duncan, after Dave finishes, you can. Something that you want to get out in this program that we haven't?
We get together, the three of us, and we discuss things. We find there are more questions than answers we've gotten from the last time. But it's interesting because I spend a lot of time researching on the internet that the truth is out there. Truth is out there about everything. Most Americans are just simply sheeples. They are led by the nose, they're being led down the lane to be slaughtered. And they say, oh, that's a good thing. Our government would never lie to us.
Yeah, I face that all the time. And I even had a couple of emails here saying, well, if they did these things to these kids, these people, it was for our own good, you know. Give me a break. Give me a break.
I've heard that one before, too.
Yeah.
I also, one of the things that I read was someone made a comment about me, MK Ultra survivor wannabe, in their right mind would want to go through something
so
like
you
this.
Guys just didn't sit down there in the ranch and make this up?
No. We, the three of us, and I speak for the three of us and probably several thousand more, we would trade everything for a normal life.
Is there, I guess, as you're doing these shows and getting more publicity, have you had anybody come forward and find you and say, hey, I think I was on that program?
Yes, and I'll say this one real quick. About a week after the video came out, a lot of people were hitting really hard with, you know, the fake fraud, this and that. I got an email from a gentleman who's Native American who was in some of these projects, as he says, I quote him, one generation before. So that puts him Dave's generation. And it was so bad on him that he actually left the country. And he was thanking me for speaking up where he kept silent. And until I read that email that morning, I got up and I was ready to call my agent and people involved and say, I'm done, I'm through. You know, I don't need to put...
trust me, that's one of the things, as you get in the public light, you'll find... I obviously got in this business because I want everybody to love me, you know, you have an ego, but, God, it was shocking when I found out people took you on. You just gotta go in and bear it and go on. You're doing a good thing here.
I agree. I read that email and my whole attitude changed.
You have either one of you or, the lady, what was her name, Shauna?
Shauna.
Yeah. Has the government made any overtures to you, like, shut up?
In overt ways, yes, they have.
Like?
Well, with me, they shot my car windows out with me in the car.
Well, that is an overt way. That's certainly not covert. How do you know?
That was only one incident. How do I know that it was a government, government job? Because not more than 5 seconds later, a police car came up behind me, and I'm standing out in the middle of the street with a loaded Luger.
And they're going to arrest you instead of the other people?
They didn't arrest anybody. They didn't even get out in the car.
Oh, really?
And that was only one incident.
That happened recently?
About 5 years ago when I first started questioning, when I first started on the quest.
Right. Where were you, or can you tell me then? That's 5 years ago. You're not there now.
South Central Kentucky.
Okay. Thanks a lot for both of you being on, okay?
You're welcome.
Anytime.
And we, you know, the truth will set you free, maybe.
One thing before you leave, both of you guys, did the government compensate you well for these programs? I mean, do you still get a check?
They're making the first book, but the only difference in the government and the mafia is that the mafia pays better.
Well, obviously, because Duncan evidently never made any money from anybody. Dave, did you?
No.
It seems to me they would figure a way to reward you, but I guess that would be evidence.
Well, when my father died in 1976, He was owed by the Mafia family out of Pittsburgh. He was owed 38 markers. Now, the markers traditionally go to the oldest son. Well, the markers went to me as the youngest son.
So, you mean you inherited some things?
Oh, yeah. 38 papers I could call on for anything.
Right, right. You know, there's not enough time in one show to do all this. You know, we're going to do some more if you guys are willing.
Sure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye. Dave Corso lives in a rural area of Nevada west of Las Vegas. He served in a black ops operation in Laos in the 60s. He now lives alone, along with a collection of wolves and canines. At night, he still has quiet nightmares of events that will haunt his mind for the rest of his life. Duncan Ophinian was taken as a child and put into a mind control program as a very young youth. Duncan regained lost memories after a car accident. He remembers many incidents, even possible assassination plots in which he was involved. He was in an altered state. Duncan and a mysterious red-headed woman came across Dave Corso by happenstance in a Nevada casino. And the memories of these previous events flooded back into all three's consciousness. Corso told me in detail how he was pinned down by the Khmer Rouge in Southeast Asia and radioed for help. And when help arrived, he was shocked to see what was sent to him for rescue. A helicopter full of children. The children had strange expressions and almost robotic movements. They formed a circle, and then, as the descending troops were approaching, there was a huge flash of light, blinding light. When Corso's vision came back, the children were getting into the helicopter, and the helicopter flew away, leaving an unbelievable scene of devastation. All the enemy troops were on the ground, dead. Then, as fate would have it, the redhead Shauna, Dave, and Duncan met again, and they still cling to each other, dealing with memories of things that they do not quite understand. We leave you with the question that is unanswerable, at least from an official standpoint. Did these programs using children with mind control abilities actually exist? Are programs like this still being done today? Duncan, Shauna, and Dave know from experience it did exist, it did happen, and they fear programs of similar types are being used today by the CIA or other super secret organizations. I would like to thank Jane Smortley for the post-production work on this program, and we leave you with this question. Was it worth the cost of what it's done to these people, to these subjects of mind control experiments? Is it worth the cost of what it's done to the participants? I'm afraid I think it is not. I don't think it's moral or correct. The government should not be allowed to take children and shape them into weapons, and then leave them to deal with the memories and the lingering questions about what happened to them. Until next time, this is Jerry Finn, thanking you for listening. Cheers.